on page 1071. Page 1071, and we'll read verses 1 through 11. Our text is verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, says Jesus speaking. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is God's word, and may he bless this word to our hearts and lives so we can renew and reclaim Christ's purpose for our lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a new world out there, and not a very easy world for us. We can talk about it all the time and we get tired of talking about it, but it's still there. There's a whole layer of regulations. There's a whole layer of stress, a whole layer of frustration and annoyance and conflict that has been added to everyone's life globally. And also to us. And it's very easy for me and for us to lose sight of why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. And to allow the other things, the annoyances, the frustrations, to block what life is all about, to get in the way. And we must not let it do so. It's easy to lose a sense of who we are as Christians and why we're here and what's really important for us in God's kingdom. And so this morning, with the help of John 15, I would like us to refocus on our true purpose in Christ and reclaim that purpose. And what is it? It's really summarized for us in verse 8 of John 15. Look again at John 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. There's our purpose. That we glorify Jesus Christ by bearing much fruit for God. We glorify God the Father by bearing much fruit through Christ his Son, the vine. Well, let's look at three things about reclaiming Christ's purpose for our lives. First, the gift of life that we have in Christ by faith. And then the growth of that life in Christ by faith. And then the goal of that life that we claim by faith. The gift, then the growth, and then the goal. The gift of life that allows us to bear much fruit. The power to bear good fruit, brothers and sisters, does not lie within ourselves. For by nature, we're dead in our sins, and we cannot do anything good. We can only bear bad fruit. We can bear fruit. We're created to be fruit bearers, but the tree has gone bad, and we can only bear bad fruit. The power to bear good fruit does not lie in ourselves. It comes from the life source that we're connected to, the vine, Jesus Christ. And that's how John 15 opens. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He takes care of the vine. It's good news, congregation. God the Father has planted the true vine in this world, that dead branches can get their life back again. I am the true vine. This is one of Jesus' seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate, or I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these all come from the Old Testament. I am who I am. Jesus is the great I am who I am. The redeeming God, the one who saves us from death and judgment and from an empty life of not fulfilling our purpose. He raises us up with life to fulfill our purpose again that we were created for. That's why Jesus came. Now, Israel was God's vine in the Old Testament, but she failed. She didn't bear good fruit. She followed the ways of the world, not the word. But God the Father, in his great love, sent the true vine, his Son, Jesus. And Jesus came and lived the perfect life of keeping God's commandments. What a beautiful and good vine, all kinds of good fruit. And he offered up his life as a payment for all our sin, all our breaking of God's commandments. The perfect vine, just what we needed. And now the Father takes us, sinners, dead in our sin, cursed, law-breaking, rotten. And he grafts us as branches into the true vine so that we receive the life that Christ is and has won for us through his death and resurrection. That life of justification and life, forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Spirit. Wow, what a gift from God. What love that we should be elevated and be brought into the true vine. You realize what a blessing we have to have life. And everyone who believes in Jesus has been born again and has been powerfully brought into Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And you're alive. You're connected to the living, fruitful vine. You are alive in Christ. And we got to think about that today and remember that in our world. We can think that the restrictions, the regulations, the riots, the brokenness, the pains, the afflictions, the sorrows, whatever it is you're facing, are taking your life away. No, they can't. No, they can't. In Christ, you have life and you have it abundantly. Even when there's trouble and frustration, remember that. Jesus is reminding you of that. I am the vine. You are the branches. Don't lose sight of who you are as a Christian and why you're here. Notice in verse 2 how the Father takes care of the vine. He's a very good grower. He's a very good farmer. The Father says, every branch in me, or Jesus says of the Father, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He, the Father, takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Every grower, everyone who runs an orchard, knows that these two things are required in order to keep it going and growing. You have to take the branches that are dead, that are not bearing fruit, and cut them off. And later it says, put them in the fire and burn them. So you see, some are pretend Christians. By heritage, by background, they might have a tie to Christ. They might belong to the church. But they're dead. They have only an external connection to Christ. They're not drinking the sap from Him. We call that nominal Christianity, Christians in name only. And then the Father will cut you out like a farmer cuts a dead branch off the fruit tree and throws it in the fire. Brothers and sisters, pretending to be a Christian, being just a hanger on, will not save you from the fire of judgment. We need a living connection to the vine. We need to pray for that. But there's a second thing the farmer does, the Father does. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it might bear more fruit. Sometimes Christians who are really serving the Lord are wondering why God's sending all sorts of pain and trouble in their lives. God must be punishing me. No, He's pruning you. Those who are truly connected to Jesus Christ, you are bearing good fruit. And when you bear good fruit, the Father wants more fruit. He sees those little shoots that are going to be hindrances to bearing good fruit. Those temptations, those tendencies towards sin, those bad habits, those character flaws. He says, I need to cut them out so they don't get in the way of living a richer life for God's glory. And so He prunes you. And sometimes He does a light pruning. He just cuts off a little bit and we feel the pain only a little. But you know how sometimes you cut back the bushes in your flower bed right to the ground? Sometimes He does a heavy pruning. Very painful. That's not punishment, dear believer. That's pruning. Because the Father sees your purpose for your life and has given you your purpose and wants you to live out your purpose more and more. And He wants you to embrace that purpose, which includes accepting the pruning. Maybe He wants you to pray more. He might send you trials to bring you to your knees more. That's pruning. One person said that after he became a Christian and was growing in his faith, the Lord gave him such a hard time. All his old friends rejected him. He felt so lonely. He said it was so painful. What's God doing to me? But later he saw that these friends were obstacles to his further growth. And God took the knife and pruned those obstacles from his life. And it ended up being a great blessing to him. Well, what is God's pruning knife? Look at verse 3. Already you are clean, says Jesus, because of the word I've spoken to you. The word is the pruning knife that cleans you. The Bible, the reading and preaching of Holy Scripture, cleanses our lives and makes us more fruitful. You know the Word has that kind of power. Remember Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word can knife you deep into the soul, to the mind, to judge your thoughts and attitudes. So we're convicted of our sin. We repent. We trust in Him to forgive us and look to Him for greater purity in our thought life. It's the word. So congregation, don't forget the life that you have in Jesus. We live in a life of a world of political turmoil too. Remember, your life is not found in who forms the next government, whether here or in the States. Government doesn't have that much power. Government isn't the true vine. Your life isn't found in whether you mask or unmask, whatever value there is in it. It doesn't have that kind of power. Your life isn't found in how well the crops are doing, how successful the business is. It's found in Jesus crucified as the perfect lamb for your sin and risen from the dead. Brothers and sisters, let's refocus on him who is our life. Let's remember Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, the true vine. And let's look to him for our life, but also, secondly, for our growth. Look at verses 4 and 5. John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me, says Jesus, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's a command. Jesus says to the branches, abide in me. But I'm already in you. Abide in me. What does that mean? One commentator describes it this way. What is abiding in Jesus? It's the active cultivation by every Christian of a living spiritual relationship to Christ. The active cultivation by every Christian of a living spiritual relationship to Christ. As Paul says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Abide in me. Stay connected to me, says Jesus to the vine or to the branches, to each one of his children. Stay connected to me, not just outwardly, like a dead branch that's not drinking sap from the trunk. No, not that way. But stay connected to me inwardly and spiritually. Because you can't bear fruit by yourself. Many people think that they can continue to serve the Lord even when they don't have a vital connection to Christ. Even when they don't seek him as the source of their life and strength through faith and prayer. That's impossible to live a fruit-bearing life. Impossible to have growth, brothers and sisters, that way. That's what's happening in North American evangelicalism right now. A few decades ago, evangelicals were a strong force for doing good in North America. They were tightly connected to the church, Jesus' body. That's the place where Jesus feeds his people in a special way through the ministry of the word and the sacraments. Evangelicals had a tight connection to the church. And they were solidly grounded in the fundamentals of the faith. But today, they're too busy for church. Or too lazy for church. Or both. And they're no longer connected to the ministry of the word in general. And they're quickly getting lost in this world. And they're not believing the Bible anymore. And they're living worldly lives. They've lost their saltiness. And their light doesn't shine anymore. That's what happens when we don't abide in Christ. When we don't actively cultivate a living spiritual relationship to Christ by faith. Brothers and sisters, that could happen to us. Again, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We need to stay connected to the vine together with the other branches. We're not just solo branches, a solo branch in a vine. You are the branches. This is a church thing. It's a personal thing, but it's a church thing. Together. I, you, we need to abide. We need to stay connected. Vitally connected to Jesus Christ. To live close to His church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Public reading, exhortation, and teaching. So how do you abide in Christ? Look at verse 7. There's a clue. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now go back to verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. How do you abide in Christ? You do that through His word. You allow His word to dwell richly in you. Because you know in the parable of the sower, that the word of Jesus is the seed of the kingdom. That when it lands on good soil, soil prepared by the Holy Spirit, that seed raises up a crop for God, some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's the power of the word. It's the seed of the kingdom. And that's why we need the word in our lives. It's the seed of the kingdom. We need to drink deeply from it. Last week, I was going through a conservation area with a creek running through it. And I noticed that the largest tree, a gigantic poplar in that bush, alive and flourishing, was planted right by the river, right by the creek, and it was thriving. If you want to grow, you got to plant your life close to the water. That's another image from Psalm 1. If you want to grow, you have to abide in the vine. Growth doesn't take complication, it takes dedication. In all the history of the church, no culture has more opportunities than go to church and come under the word than ours. With buildings, vehicles. And in all the history of the church, no culture has had so many Bibles, access to so many Bibles and study guides and translations as ours. And yet, the church in our age is entering into the dark ages. We're becoming so ignorant of Scripture. It's because we're not using the access to the vine that we've been given. And brothers and sisters, let us not go that way, but the other way. We've got the vine in our midst, the Lord Jesus Christ, through His word and by His spirit. It doesn't take complication. It's not a complicated matter. It takes dedication. We need to be dedicated to this matter. Let's hear and study His word diligently and eagerly. As Peter says in 1 Peter 2, like a baby craves milk, let us crave the spiritual milk of the word. And if our church-going habits have fallen on hard times, and it's so easy for me and you in these times of restrictions for it to fall on hard times. And if your time spent in the Bible personally and as a family has fallen on hard times and you're just not taking time for it. Problems are on the way for you. You can't bear fruit. If you do not abide in the vine. But take the word. Take the ministry of the word. Take every access you have to it. And grow. Look at that wonderful promise in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me. Oh, there's a flip side. If you abide in him, guess what? He's going to live in you. And there's no power like the power of Christ living in you. There is no power on earth like that. Go on in verse 5. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. You will. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Growth doesn't take complication. It takes dedication. And that's what makes the word so powerful. It's Christ crucified and risen from the dead, and there's no power like that. It's the death of your sin, the old self. It's the power of a new creation, the new self. And the more that word abides in you, the more the old will die and the new will come to life in you and me. That's what makes the word of Christ so powerful. Because it's the workshop of the Holy Spirit. That's the seed the Holy Spirit uses to plant and form Christ, Jesus Christ in you, and make you fruitful. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. Now, I know apart from Christ, you can do many things. You can get a degree. You can build a company. You can work out. You become very strong. You can achieve high positions of worldly power. But apart from Jesus, you will accomplish nothing of lasting value. It'll be like a puff of smoke that's here now and dissipates tomorrow. You can't advance the kingdom of Christ apart from abiding in the vine. You can't grow in grace. Only one life, remember that hymn or that poem. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, let's see, thirdly, the goal of the Christian life. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. You can coast only so long. You can be complacent only so long. Eventually you'll die if you don't repent. And then you'll be cut off and burned. But, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The Christian has great goals to be saved, to persevere in your faith. But the highest goal for the Christian is to glorify God and bear fruit for him. That's our highest goal. Remember that from Ephesians 2. By grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's so easy to lose sight of this goal. The goal of bearing fruit to the glory of God, and more fruit. Brothers and sisters, it's just so easy just to exist. To go to school and just get your assignments done and get out of there as fast as you can and graduate as soon as you can and get on with life as soon as you can. It's so easy to get into that mode. I just got to survive the next thing. That's really all there is to life. Or just pursue my own self-interest, and the more I have for me, the better life is. I want to have an easy life. I want to make lots of money. I want to have a nice house and a nice vacation. And sadly, many who call themselves Christians do not live above that purpose. Easy life, lots of money, nice house, nice vacations. Too many Christians have that as their primary goal. That's paganism. That's not Christianity. That's worldliness. That doesn't come from the Word. Brothers and sisters, Let's reclaim today God's purpose for our lives and wake up every morning to this high and holy purpose and calling that God has for us in Christ. I am in Christ and I am here for God's glory. He has given me life to bear much fruit. God, this is my goal. I want to bear the fruit of repentance. I want to confess my sins and get rid of them and put them to death so there's more room for good works to grow in my life. I want to bear the good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control so that I look more like Jesus. I want to bear the fruit of Christian witness. I want my light to shine so that others may see Christ living in me and hear about Christ from my mouth. So that they might believe and glorify God. I want to bear the fruit of brotherly love, a closer connection to the other branches in the vine. So that we can, as Peter says, love one another deeply from the heart. I want to see the whole vine flourish, not just me. And by my fruit to encourage others to bear fruit. Well, I know I've said to you before, boys and girls, when you're about ready to begin school, it was my worst day of the year, Labor Day, just before school starts. Back to school. My best day of the year was the last day of the previous year. That's that rotten attitude. That's not a fruit-bearing attitude at all. That's not pursuing the goal of life. Please don't do that. Hit the books, hit your schoolwork with purpose in mind. This purpose: Christ is training me through my teachers to become a fuller, richer, deeper person who has a growing understanding of how to live for God in the world He has made. And how to shine for Him in culture and conflicts where He's placed me. That I'm not going to go to school just to survive and just to get away with the least possible. But to thrive and make the most of every class and every assignment, every reading and every activity. Well, God promises you, if you hit the books, hit your job, hit every day with that kind of purpose, to take hold of that life you have in the vine, and to see that life grow and bear much fruit, you will bear much fruit. Let's all of us, singles, married, parents, children, men, women, old and young, reclaim Christ's purpose for us as branches in the vine. God's will is for you to glorify Him by bearing much fruit. That's why you're here. It may sound intimidating. Maybe you doubt that somebody like you, with all your weaknesses and sin, could really bear fruit for the Lord. Well, you may doubt yourself, but don't doubt the Lord Jesus Christ. In a way, my favorite verse, though we're not covering it here, is verse 11. I want my joy to be in you, so your joy may be full. It's the most joyful life there is, to live this life of bearing fruit for God. May God grant us that joy, and may He help us reclaim our purpose. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord our God, and